Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
The Crit Show contains elements of horror, fantasy violence, and adult language. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
I need you to know that the other day, you unintentionally gave me an existential crisis.
That wasn't unintentional.
So we were playing our home game of Earth Dawn at Tass's place. And once we were done, we were talking about Fallout. And at one point, I said to Jake, oh, yeah, the guy who plays the ghoul, Walter Goggins. And Jake goes, Walton. And I was like, Walton Goggins. When I first saw the ghoul, I thought that was the guy from Justified. And Jake goes, it is the guy from Justified. And so then I went around for the next 4 hours convinced that Timothy Oliphant didn't exist. Because that's who I was talking about. I went through this long process of like, has it always been Walton Goggins when I'm thinking of who's Timothy Oliphant? And so I looked him up and I was like, oh, they're both in this show.
That's fucking hilarious. Oh, man. I thought that this was going to lead to like a, I get him and some other actor confused, but fuck, that's real funny.
Yeah. I was so stunned for like the next 4 hours and like cut to me at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, so who is Timothy Olyphant? Am I thinking of Timothy Chalamet? I'll just look up Justified.
No, you're thinking of Timothy Amundsen. He's in sight. Easy mistake to make.
Yeah, so long story short, I thought it was Timothy Oliphant as the ghoul.
I see.
Who's the actor that everybody gets mixed up with Timothy Oliphant?
Walton Goggins.
Shit, now his name is escaping me. He was in that, like...
He was in the first Transformers movie, right? Or was that Timothy Oliphant?
Josh Duhamel.
Yeah. They look so similar that, like... Jake has showed me like interviews where Timothy Oliphant talks about like, did he like have him do a Christmas card or something where he stood in?
Yeah, they ran into each other at like a hockey game. Timothy Oliphant had Josh Duhamel take a picture with his family and send it out as his Christmas card, and his mom couldn't tell the difference between them.
It would have been so funny if Rev had like voiced that like, well, who's Timothy? I thought that was Timothy Oliphant. And you were like, no, that's Josh Duhamel.
And this would have been full circle.
I think that would have just crossed over into just you really gaslighting Rev into believing that Timothy Oliphant didn't exist.
You know who I did get confused? I got Walton Goggins and the guy who plays disasters in the insurance commercials.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought those were the same person for a long time. I don't know why.
I don't know who that is. I only know him from those commercials.
I also know him from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I know him from 30 Rock.
He was on 30 Rock.
Yeah, he's Liz's terrible boyfriend.
We got to find out his name. We got to at least put his name on air.
Yeah.
Because it'd be such a disrespect to just be like, that guy, who gives a shit?
It's wild. Like, you know, in like the performer world, they always say that, you know, you're going to go into a room for an audition. There's going to be 10 people who look exactly like you. I used to work in Cincinnati with a guy who could have been twins with the guy from your insurance commercials. from that guy.
Let's get his name. Let's get his name, Jake.
Yeah.
Dean Winters.
Yeah.
Ooh, good name.
Dean Winters. What a good name. Yeah. Dean Gerard Winters.
And he's one of the guys who hunts demons because his mom died.
Dean Winters. Stir. All this leading up to special guest this episode, friend of the show, Dean Winters.
Whose name we definitely knew.
And you're going to hear his voice right now. The Scuttler has crested the edge of the anvil. Rev and Megan and Jumbo can see it just about 100 feet off to your right. Coming up over the edge, it seems like it is eyeballing where all of you were when Kim triggered her vision. It does not seem to notice you, at least not yet. It is fixated on the point where Kim was before. What would you like to do?
Not expecting it to be as close.
That close.
Yeah, that's very close. And I think, especially it being that much closer, it looks much bigger than I expected. I think I just kind of like deer in a headlights, shut down, like Bigfoot pose. Freeze. Every single part of my body is like a statue.
Yeah. Like, I think I put out a hand and I grab Megan with one hand and Jumbo with the other, just freeze in place.
Okay. Its focus not being drawn to you, I don't think you need to roll. Like, I think the only risk here is if you do something that would draw attention, but by just holding still and bearing down, it's not looking for you. Kim and Tass, I have to assume that if you have any awareness of your surroundings whatsoever, you are also probably aware of this thing coming up over the edge behind you.
Goodness, yes.
What do y'all want to do?
I want to put a vision in the Scuttler's head. You know, I grew up in Arizona. Scorpions are a known thing to me. And I want to send a vision to the Scuttler's insect monstrous brain of me crushing an Arizona bark scorpion with a very large shoe. And I want it to know that it came from me, ideally.
Okay. So does the content of the vision matter as much as just piss it off and draw aggro?
I'm trying to piss it off and have it zero in back on Tass and myself and away from Rev and Megan.
Okay. I think we can call that just a weird level 3 then.
Cool. 10.
All right. You all see this thing in just a couple of strides cross the distance to where you all were minutes ago. And then it freezes momentarily, and you kind of see like a shudder run down its body from head to stinger. And then it very quickly shifts on these legs to be facing the direction that Kim and Tass are. And its stinger comes up high, arcing over its back. You can see a drip of liquid coming off of the tip, and it starts to rush in your direction, and it's fucking fast.
Oh, God, go, go.
Yep. Yep. I rein in and hit it at a gallop.
All right. Is there a destination or an objective besides don't get got?
I'm not sure how much critical thinking I'm doing in this moment, but certainly like my trajectory is to pull it as far away from the other three as possible. Like whatever the arc that I can get it that's going to give them the widest berth, that's what I want to try.
Okay. Give me a ride roll.
Okay.
No, what?
4.
This is such a bad time to fail a roll.
I wouldn't call it a fail. I would call it...
Rev, it's eating. Hurry. Now, quick. Well, it's distracted.
I would call this an opportunity for some new ideas.
A crisitunity.
Mark a grit.
Thank you.
As you are urging King Caesar forward at the highest speed he can go, it is just no match for this thing. It's too big. It just covers too much ground with every step. And it scurries over and it plants one of those legs right in front of King Caesar, who panics and rears and bucks the two of you off. And the horse finds an opening and takes off through like the jail cell bars that are this creature's legs. You two are on the ground underneath its belly, and you can see that above you it is kind of rotating as if trying to find where exactly you've gone. Megan and Rev, true to the plan, the creature books it after your compatriots. You are open on the edge of the cliff here with the lift.
I think as soon as its attention is not focused on us, it has its back to us, I would be focusing on our job and like getting the lift into position.
Yeah, what's the landscape like? Like, how far are they? Are they even visible to us? Like, I don't know how far away they got.
Yeah, they're certainly visible. Again, it's very flat out here. Like, Lost Hope is just, there's not a lot of elevation changes out here. It's pretty desert-esque. They have not gotten, like, miles by any means. You can definitely see them. They are about a mile away.
I can't affect anything from this distance.
I believe it. I mean, Tass wanted to get as far away from you as possible.
Yeah. So I think I see this happening, but I turn to help Megan because I know nothing I can do can even reach there.
Okay. I think it takes very little time for you all to get this lift set back up. You've already built it. You've already deployed it and broken it down before. There are three of you. Jumbo's a big boy, so you got plenty of strength to help out. So I think this is just going to take you a couple of minutes to get this thing up and operational.
Okay, yeah, I think as soon as it's operational and we get on the lift, I'll tell the boys to hold on as tight as they can. And I want to try to kind of use telekinesis to operate the pulley much faster than we could individually. Like the crank that lowers it, I don't want it to be limited by like our own strength. I want it to go as fast as we can. Just because based on what Kim saw earlier, knowing that the home of the Scuttler is like half a mile down. We have a lot of distance to cover on our own, so I'm trying to just speed up that process as much as possible.
I think the difficulty in this just comes from, one, like, the precision. Like, this is a small device, but it's not, like, it's not an advantage for it to be small. You have to interact with this very delicately and specifically. But I think this is still just a weird level two.
So that's a six. However, I do have some grit.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, what can you invoke?
Can I invoke my archetype?
Like, which is?
The Maverick, that I kind of just go all in on whatever dumb shit I come up with and just fully believe that this is going to work. This is kind of an out-of-the-box way to handle this situation, but if I give it a shot, yeah, probably.
Sure. Spend your grit. You begin the descent using your telekinesis to manipulate the mechanism, and you're moving at a clip, but I think you can tell, even as you go, it's putting a lot of wear on the device. And on the way back up, you're kind of trading speed now for speed later. Like, you're going to be slower on the ascent than you would have been if you had not messed with this mechanism. But you three start to drop, and as you pass below the horizon of the anvil, you lose sight of Kim, Tass, and the Scuttler.
Hey, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Did you know it is our anniversary month?
How long have we been married?
No, the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did know
that. The show's anniversary. We are turning 6 years old, and to celebrate that,
we're going to first grade.
Close. We're giving a discount on our Patreon. If you join the year-long subscription to the Patreon, you can get 15% off during the month of May. You can find out everything about our Patreon at patreon.com/thecritshow. But all tiers for the month of May are 15% off when you sign up for the annual membership. Is that as exciting as first grade?
You know, now that I'm kind of remembering back to first grade, that's far better than first grade.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Kim, Tass, beneath the belly of the Scuttler, what do you want to do down here in the dust?
So is it still stomping around looking for us, or is it like sort of stilled and listening, or like what? Like what's its vibe?
Why don't you read a situation?
Oh no.
You got this.
That's a 10.
Okay, you get three questions.
It's the order of these questions that I'm hung up on here. Wow. I guess what's my best escape route is important information to have.
That's where you want to start with?
Yeah.
Looking around, there's nowhere to go. Like, there's no cover out here. You're out in the middle of the Barrens. Right now, it does not know where you are because you're too close to it. So it occurs to you that basically staying glued to this thing is the best way to avoid getting spotted by it.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Wow, I bet I can't swing which enemy is most vulnerable to me into something like which part of my enemy is the most vulnerable to me.
Which leg? Yeah. Assuming that every leg and the stinger and the pincers are their own enemies.
Yeah.
You're not going to like the answer because it's none.
Yep.
I mean, I can.
You can say no.
I can go with this.
Okay.
If your objective is to like attach yourself to this thing or like climb onto it or get on its back or whatever, one of the legs is going to be your best bet. Because as you are watching it, you know, it's rotating above you. There's a pattern to the movement of a scorpion's legs. Like, you know, it moves in a predictable way.
Yeah.
Even though they're fast, you know that, okay, when this one touches the ground, these other ones are going to have to move first before that one comes back up.
Uh-huh.
The leg itself is not like poisonous or chop in halfy. It would still hurt real bad, but yeah. It's going to be on the ground for a while and it is otherwise like a blunt instrument, so to speak.
Now that I'm very physically intimate with this beast.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's a kaiju, so it's just what you've always wanted.
Yep.
Paromantic. He chose those words.
What should I be on the lookout for? Is there anything that wasn't as obvious? I mean, pincers, giant feet that can stab me, drippy tail. Like, what else?
I remember one of the pincers is actually just like a big club. It's got one,
oh,
one
yeah.
snips and one clubs.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything I should have noticed but now can't help but notice?
As you're observing the way this thing is moving, the way that it seems to be looking for you, the way that it chased you, the way that it approached the point where you used to be, you can tell that this thing is smart. Smarter than the one you fought when you were on your way in here. Not like superhuman and not like it's got a particularly nefarious agenda or anything, but it's like above beast level intelligent. It is scouting for you right now. If you did nothing, it would put together the puzzle pieces that it can't see you, but it did a second ago. There's only one place they can be, and it'll find you underneath.
Uh-huh. All right, then I am like watching based on what I saw about its leg movement, and as soon as like one of the legs comes down, I'm like, okay, this is the kind of the start of the pattern. I point at that leg to Kim and make a climbing motion and just start running for it.
Hell yeah. I love Shadow of the Colossus. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to need you both to make an athletics/acrobatics roll.
Okay. 12.
6.
All right. Tass, you sprint ahead and just jump and grab onto this leg. And when you're way up close to this thing, you can see that there are good like handholds and footholds. Like this thing is armored. There are basically plates. There are layers of its carapace. So you have no trouble grabbing on and starting to scale one of these legs.
I wish you didn't describe how easy this thing is to climb right before you describe how Kim doesn't do that.
Kim, you just suck, I guess.
No, I think that it is just a problem of timing. That, you know, Tass is the one who registered this. He pointed it out to you. He got moving first and is just a little bit too late for you. As you run towards this leg and you go to try and grab on, that's the moment it comes up off the ground and your target is removed from you. As this thing starts to rotate again, you can see Tass just ascending into the heavens on a giant leg above you.
Fuck.
Tass, you see that Kim did not make the climb.
I am just trying to continue my climb up onto its back.
Okay. Kim, what about you? As you see this leg pulling away from you, I mean, there are five others and, you know, there is a pattern to them. What do you want to do here?
I want to pull out my lasso and see if using that I can try to, even if I fuck up the timing, maybe at least I can like gym class rope climb my way up onto a leg.
Fuck yeah. Okay, give me a rope roll.
Some things really aren't meant to be, I guess. That's a four.
You rope onto the next leg in the pattern, and you do. Like, you hook onto one of the crooks on this thing, but you just aren't anticipating how fast and powerfully these things come up off the ground.
Yeah.
And it fucking launches you. And you go, like, you're holding onto the rope, you're traveling upwards, and then you're kind of in zero G as you reach an apex above the scuttler. You are now looking down at Tass, who has climbed up the leg and is about to get onto its back. Tass, you see Kim just whoosh, fly up
no.
next to you.
I did it. I cracked the whip.
What do you guys want to do?
Do I think it sees her and knows she's there now too?
How are you gleaning this information? Are you like taking in the scenario and from observation, or like are you consulting what you know about scorpions?
Oh God.
If you're consulting what you know about scorpions, I don't even know why you asked him.
Accurate. I mean, I do. I think it is more like in the moment, what is it doing? Like, is it tilting its body in a way that's like, oh, look at that thing flying through the air. Like it seems that I would be tracking its reaction more than like, well, when a scorpion sees its prey flinged through the air, it does this.
Okay. Since you are just trying to get like a very specific single piece of information here, I'm going to have you just use a skill with awareness.
Okay. 10.
Okay. You can see that this thing is more stationary now. It's not like rotating and looking anymore. I think you can tell that its eyes have picked up the movement, but not exactly what that movement is. Like, it knows something is happening back here, but at this second, it does not know what precisely that is.
Okay, then I think as I'm finishing my climb, I just want to sprint along its back towards the, I mean, head is, you know, however these things work, that bit weird blunt front that would have all of its eyes. And I just want to start unloading my guns into its head. Like, I know I don't think it's going to hurt, but I just want to try to make sure it knows I'm here and see if it will just sting itself to death, to see if I can make it try to hit me and maybe take itself out, or at least hurt itself.
Okay. I mean, this sounds like a provoke roll if I've ever heard one.
Uh-oh. what is provoke with?
Soul.
Mm-hmm. That's a 5.
Tass, you run over to the head and you just start unloading both barrels, and this thing lets out a bizarre sound, like a cross between a hiss and like steam escaping almost. You see its tail, which has been poised above, start to move, and you're like, heh, nailed it. And then it just comes in from the side and fucking clubs you clean off of this thing. I'm going to need you to roll the harm move,
uh-huh,
at least for the impact, and I guess we'll see. This is probably lethal harm. This is a big fucking hit. I think you're just going to be rolling plus zero on this. Like, plus zero is for a shotgun or an explosion. I feel like that's more akin to what this hit is.
Yeah, cool. That's a 5.
On a 6 or less, you are disabled and cannot act at all. If it is lethal harm, you are mortally wounded and will probably die. And the GM will decide when. You are rocketed off the back of this creature stories high, and you hit the ground like you jumped out of a moving car. You roll and roll in the dirt. It feels like some of your small joints might dislocate on the way. It feels like maybe a ligament tears here and there. And you come to a stop maybe 100 feet away. Kim, from the apex of your flight, you see Tass take this Mondo hit and get rocketed off the back of this creature. But you lose sight of him fairly quickly as you begin to fall and get closer and closer to the back of the scuttler. What do you want to do?
How high am I in the air from first the ground and second from the back of the scuttler?
At the peak from the ground, like 50 feet.
Okay. From the scuttler?
From the back of the scuttler, 20 feet.
Okay. So I like my odds of surviving a 20-foot fall a lot better than surviving a 50-foot fall.
That's just simple math.
I want to try to lasso the tail of the Scuttler. I just saw it knock Tass off. It's probably like traveling across its back, like approximately where I am actively falling. I think I'm going to try and see if I can rope that so that I'm not hitting the ground.
Okay, that sounds like another rope roll.
8.
All right, you lasso onto the tail and are kind of whipped along behind it for a moment as it maneuvers back into place. And you pass under the very tip and a droplet of whatever that liquid is coming out of the tail lands on you. And a droplet to this thing is pretty substantial to you. It's like you got hit by a water balloon.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have you roll the harm move here.
Cool.
Before we resolve where you end up. This is non-lethal, and I think you'll be rolling with a +2. This is not like a targeted attack. This is like environmental incidental damage.
6. Can I spend grit and invoke an aspect?
Yeah, which one?
I'm going to invoke one charge from the medical car. Before we abandoned the train, we knew that there was a big scorpion out here that we had to deal with. And so I think we packed along like a vial of anti-venom.
Okay, that'll bump you up to a 7. So you are going to take a wound, which will give you a -1 ongoing to body rolls until you're healed. Non-lethal harm, that's a short rest, about an hour. What is this wound?
If I say acid splash, it sounds like a 5e cantrip or like a Pokemon move.
I'm trying to think of, who is that character from Captain Planet? Was it the one that Meg Ryan voiced that had like the white hair and it covered like her eyes and her cheek? And it was like when it pulled back, she had like an acid scar or something.
Meg Ryan voiced a character in Captain Planet?
I think so.
That seems so below her.
But no, I'm down with that, especially with the knowledge that it's going to heal in an hour. A Phantom of the Opera-esque.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Wow. Dr. Blight? That's a fucking cool name.
Yep,
it's a cool look.
Cool looking character.
Love her. All right, so yeah, a Dr. Blight-esque.
Dr. Barbara Babs Blight.
All right, Kim, write Barb Blight on your character sheet to note
sure,
your wound.
Do.
So you get swung around by the tail a bit. You pass through this venom, but are able to kind of whip around and like lash yourself onto the tail, stable enough to produce the anti-venom and treat this wound a bit. Over the cliff's edge, the three of you are descending at near terminal velocity. How far are you going? Or do you know? Are you looking at the rune compass and seeing what it tells you? Or are you trying to keep an eye out?
Yeah, I think having the rune compass on its side so that it hopefully becomes parallel at some point.
Okay. You hold the rune compass sideways, like facing you. And right as you start your descent, the compass needle is kind of pointing like down and to your left, but it's wobbling a bit. And pretty quickly, as you start to descend, the needle just starts spinning.
I think it's broken.
What?
Are they all around us? Like, I want to look around at the stone that we're passing and see if there's anything carved into it.
Why don't you read a situation?
7.
You get one question.
What should I be on the lookout for?
You notice flaws in the rock face that you're passing. Just like big cracks, grooves, channels that you had assumed were just the natural flow of the rock. But now that this compass is spinning and this thought occurs to you, you realize it's the markings of the runes, and they're enormous. These runes, this circle, must be like Nazca lines size on the side of the anvil. There are channels carved into the rock face that are multiple feet wide. That's the skinny edge of a line in a rune.
Wait, stop.
What?
This is it. All of these lines, it's not that they're all here. It's one big one.
One big
rune. Like, this is a rune.
Oh my gosh. And I'm like backed up against the edge of the lift, trying to like when you're in the front row of an IMAX theater, trying to like see the full picture on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Like, you realize that you would have to get a significant distance off the side of the anvil. You'd need a bird's eye view from out there to be able to take in the scale of this rune circle.
Damn. Okay. So we just got to break the side of this cliff face, right? We just mar the rune here and we should be good.
Yeah, we need to like maybe find the two closest grooves and see if we can get the chunk in the middle out or something so it changes the shape in some substantial way.
Okay, what about the lift? What if we're able to get off and I like telekinesis it out over like the blasted lands as far as it could go and like let it go and basically wrecking ball it into the side?
Oh, where do we go?
Fuck, I was gonna just say back up, but I don't think that'll work now because I tried to make us get down here as fast as possible thinking we had to get into the scuttler's house, and I broke this piece and I just hold up like a little piece of metal that's like a pin and I'm just kind of holding it in my hand. I don't know exactly where it needs to go back in here. I think we can still get up, but we won't be able to go as quickly as we would even be able to before. It would be a lot harder.
Okay, so when you have to crack big rocks, you use a bunch of picks
right.
And like line them up and then hit them in so that it makes a chunk that falls out. Do you have any big... I have some cue balls and a sextant.
And some silverware.
I have a bunch of knives and forks.
You do.
It's time to Blue Raj this shit.
All right, what's the plan?
I'm going to start giving Megan knives and forks to hammer into the stone so we can make a hairline fracture to break off a chunk.
We're each using a cue ball to hammer in the silverware into the edge of the rock, and then we're using the sextant to try and like align everything properly. We're making full use of that gear charge you spent.
That I spent.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with mechanics. Mechanics is like the simpler engineering that everybody can do. And just hammering some shit into a rock doesn't feel like a particularly studied skill. So why don't you both make a mechanics roll? This can be a teamwork if we want.
Do we get any bonus from having Jumbo helping us as well?
Yes. You can both take a +1. For Jumbo's help.
Nice. I give him the 13 ball.
He just holds a knife up to the rock and just takes his palm and boom, just smashes it in.
I take the 8 ball and I hold it and I go, is this the right place to hammer it? I shake it and I turn it around and I look for the little window. Right. Wrong 8 ball. 9.
7.
That's with
10 with the +1 from Jumbo.
Okay. That's with your Jumbonus.
It was right there. Well done.
Okay, you all take a few minutes here because there is a little bit of repositioning of the lift. Like, this is a pretty wide groove that you've got to work through. So it takes you a few minutes, but you get all of these pieces of silverware properly placed in the rock, waiting for like the sledgehammer to deliver the blow that will split the face of the anvil.
How far down are we? Like, knowing how far down the opening is to Scuttler's house, does it make more sense for us to descend the rest of the way there and try and find a different exit? Or are we close enough that we should just take the longer amount of time to get up top?
Like laying on my belly with my head over the side of the lift and looking under, like, can I see a big hole anywhere?
All right, you lean as far off the edge of the cart as you can. You look down and you can see that the smooth rock face does seem to have a gap in it somewhere below you. From this angle, kind of hard to tell the diameter, even a bit hard to estimate the distance. But you knew from Kim's vision, the one where she peeked over the edge, that Scuttler had been about half a mile down. This seems closer than that. So as far as which one's going to be quicker to get to, honestly, probably still the one below you. Even though you guys have descended, like, you stopped at, like, you know, the first rune when you realized that's a couple hundred feet down. But the way the mechanism has been affected now, it's going to be a slow climb back up and still a quick drop to get down another 1,000 feet.
Yeah, I mean, there's something down there. There is an opening. It's still pretty far, but we definitely get there faster than going back up.
Oh, this is such a risk, because if we go up, we know that that is a way to safety, but we also know it's going to take a long time, and we know we can get down to that opening really, really quickly, but we have no guarantee that there's another exit.
Correct.
Oh, what do we do? I guess we can try to make an exit.
Yeah. If we go down there, if you and Jumbo look for an exit, I can, like, wait at the entrance, and if he tries to come home, I can try to blast him back out. Be like, no.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm just thinking about how there are all those channels up there, right? They're like almost canyons. Like they went pretty deep. Jake, do we think that those might have gone deep enough to reach like where that opening is? Because my thought is like, we could try and even blast through the rock, and if there's not an exit, make a connection to those. Like, obviously, we wouldn't be able to, like, easily blast our way to the surface, but...
I think with, like, what you have observed of the tunnels and what you know of the chasms and just your engineering skill, yeah, it seems quite likely that some of the ones on the surface break through into this one. It seems likely that some of the, like, canyons on the surface that other beasts spill out of probably break all the way down and through into this big tunnel that Scuttler seems to live in.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be our best bet to get down there and find another exit or make one of our own.
Okay.
All right, hold on. And I'll take us down the rest of the way.
Okay. You reactivate the lift and start to descend again at astonishing speed. Back up on the surface. Kim, you are at the moment lashed to the tail of the Scuttler. It is rotating around again, trying to find, seems like, you.
Yeah, good luck. This thing doesn't have a neck.
Nope. What do you want to do? You know that Tass is in a bad way on the ground somewhere nearby, and this thing is still on the hunt.
From my vantage point, am I able to, like, discern any weakness on this thing? Or, like, I'm looking for a way to hurt it in a significant way.
This is very much Shadow of the Colossus, huh? You are looking for the glowing weak spot.
I am indeed, yes.
I think this is another opportunity to read a situation.
All right. 7.
You get one question.
Which enemy is most vulnerable to me? Could we phrase that as part of this very fearsome Scuttler? Which part?
Sure. I also think, I mean, like, I think a what should I be on
enemy around.
What should I be on the lookout for would also...
Okay.
Answer this question. Either way, you can get what you're looking for.
Okay.
So, as you are attached to the tail of this thing, looking around, trying to find a vulnerable spot, you can see that just every now and then that intermittent drip from the very tip of its stinger. And looking up at the stinger, you see that when it drips, it is because there's an opening there. You've heard Rev talk about, like, the various sensory perceptions of, like, the corruption in this place. And you can see like a little bit of a sheen to this venom dripping out that is like, it's supernatural, right? Like there is a shimmer to this that strikes you as this thing is dripping literally with this corruption of this world, but it is also taking it in. That part of its body is like drinking in just the poison of this world and turning it into like fucking biofuel and its own weapon. So you think that that opening, while the most dangerous part of this creature by a mile, is also its most vulnerable spot.
And how large would you say the opening is? Could I put a stick of dynamite in there?
You could put, like, several sticks of dynamite bundled together in there.
Okay, excellent. How many equipment charges do I need to spend to get a bundle of dynamite? Is it just one, or do I need to spend multiple?
Well, Tass is the one who has sort of established how producing sticks of dynamite works, mm-hmm. and he has been doing it mm-hmm. one for one. So I think we'll stick with that.
Okay, so I have 3 equipment charges left, so 3 sticks of dynamite.
Okay.
I want to, using my hold on this scorpion tail, like climb up my lasso and try to get as close to the stinger as I can. I don't trust myself enough to be able to throw it into this, so I guess I'm just going to have to deal with whatever acid I may get and just try to shove it up in there. Yep, that's the phrasing I'm sticking with.
Okay, give me a sleight of hand roll.
2.
Oh my god. You climb up and you try to time this out. You light these sticks of dynamite, the tip of the stinger opens, you plunge them inside. But your timing's just dog shit today.
It's just been really bad today.
And it closes around your arm, trapping you in. You can feel that venom inside just like sizzling away at you. But you can feel that there's a sensation of like, it's like the tail is swallowing. Like the dynamite sticks are pulled down and away. And it's trying to pull you in, but it can't. There's a whole you there. Like it simply can't pull you all the way through. But there is about a 10 count while you are just stuck here before there is a massive explosion down towards the base of this thing's tail. It lets out a horrible shriek as that tail detaches completely, just blown off of the body. And you and the tail, still attached, start to plummet down towards the ground. From your position at the front of the tail, it's between you and the ground. So when it hits, you are not crushed. You take a pretty good jostle, but it's kind of like if you had jumped off something on a stack of mattresses, or like, you know, there's just enough underneath you to absorb a lot of this shock. And the instant it hits, the end of the tail like opens, like those muscles fail, and your arm is freed, and you roll off this tail into the dirt while the scuttler begins to thrash and scream and panic, wildly spinning in place, trying to figure out what the fuck just happened to it.
Does it seem like it's trying to find me, or is it way preoccupied by what just happened with its tail?
It seems way preoccupied.
Oh my god, oh my god, Tass! I'm gonna run to him.
Tass, you are sort of, I think, in and out of consciousness here. A tremendous amount of pain. And you hear this big explosion, but it seems a little bit muted. You hear a yell, and you're aware of Kim running over to you.
Hey, hey, you're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I blew it up.
Oh, so my trick didn't work.
No, oh my god. What can I do? I don't know what to do.
I look kind of down at myself as I'm laying there and cough a little and smile at her. I don't know that there's anything to do.
That can't be true. I'm sorry, Taz. I'm so sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry about. That's this is what we do. This is what we do. I tried to distract it so it wouldn't get you. So it worked.
You did great.
Just promise me something.
Yeah, anything.
I know it might be cumbersome, but don't leave my body here. Drag it all the way. Drag it all along the whole way with you. Cause I don't. Please throw my ass back through the portal, please.
I'm not gonna let you go, I promise.
I'm kidding. It's okay. I'm kidding. It's okay. It's okay. Just take the guns, though. Make sure they get back through.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah, it will. It will.
Kim, you see Tass's body relax, go limp. The light leaves his eyes, and he lays dead in the desert.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Sure I can't get you a drink?
They'd had a moment, hadn't they? That afternoon when Garrett had smiled just like this, warm-eyed and amused in a way that made Tony want another cigarette, but also want to step forward and...
Hey, Kate, what are you writing?
New text post on Thursday, May 21st.
Title: Why You Should Be Watching Selkirk.
So, Selkirk fandom, who wants to read my 5,000 word essay, Garrett Last Name, Secret Werewolf?
I'm Kate, by the way.
They kiss?
I think I lucked out when I found Selkirk. Because if I'd loved something else, I would have made friends, and I would have been able to read a ton of great stories.
But this way, I met you.
Me and Dayu, a new story about love and fandom from the Procyon Podcast Network.